Now you're with us for the State Capitol Report, and you have a line to Republican State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere. We'll discuss clean water legislation, health care, and pre-existing conditions, as well as other topics. Do you live in Appleton, in Kewaunee, Door County, another community that Senator Jacques represents? What questions do you have for him? It's 800-642-1234. State Senator Andre Jacques, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be back on the program, Kate.
Good morning. So starting with your personal battle with COVID, and I want to offer my support for your continued recovery and allow you space to talk about what it has been like to battle this disease. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Still working on regaining some strength and physical therapy. But no, I really appreciate the outpouring of support from my constituents and the community. And you know, it's certainly a very serious disease and something that, you know, I think, you know, we've all been kind of rallying together and looking at, you know, just the human effects of this.
With those human effects, did fighting a severe case of COVID, being hospitalized for weeks, did that experience change how you think we should be battling this pandemic or approaching public health?
You know, I guess I didn't really come on the program to talk so much about COVID. I would say there certainly were insights from the time that I went into the hospital in terms of, you know, I wish I had the opportunity to take monoclonal antibodies and some of the other therapeutics that were otherwise available, but not at that point. And but, you know, really, it's been you know, there have been a number of things that I have been working on since the outset of COVID last session that I was able to successfully get through the legislative process. And those continue in this legislative session as well. But, you know, it's been a very busy legislative session.
A very successful
for me.
Right. And just one, I know we're going to talk legislation here. Just one more question, however. If people don't get vaccinated, how do we end this pandemic, especially as you look around Wisconsin?
Well, I think, you know, beyond vaccination, I think we have to look at, you know, this is going to be a long-term issue with mutations that occur with this virus or with any virus. If you look at the flu vaccine or all the variants that we're kind of chasing after right now, I think, you know, really, we have to, I think, you know, focus on what it is that we can do to pull together as opposed to divide ourselves as a community. And certainly when we look at healthcare, there are issues related to, certainly workforce, but also bed capacity. And those have been longstanding concerns. And certainly workforce is a continuing issue within the state when you talk about, more people leaving the workforce than are entering it on a daily basis.
When you say bed capacity, are you talking about hospital bed capacity?
Correct. Correct. And yeah, there's some legislation that I've been working with somebody in the medical profession who's in the legislature, and that hasn't come forward yet, but I expect it will yet this session.
We're hearing hospital beds are full up with COVID patients, hospitals having to, once again, at this stage in the pandemic, deter people away from other hospitals. How do you address this from a lawmaking perspective?
Well, and again, it's not just a workforce issue or a hospital bed issue. It's both. And I think anybody who doesn't say that is maybe kidding themselves a little bit. I know there is an issue with, and there are times when somebody said, no, it's clearly one and not the other. And certainly there have been issues with other things like, elective surgical procedures or other non-COVID related illnesses that, you know, certainly impact hospital utilization that we're going to have to take a look at when we hit peak periods, I guess.
When you see the governor calling in the National Guard to help fill out the medical staff, what goes through your mind, having been a COVID patient on a ventilator?
Well, I've got the Heroes for Healthcare and military medics and corpsmen and what we're trying to do right now on a bipartisan basis. I actually spoke about this on Wisconsin Public Television over the weekend, just in terms of the average military medic and corpsman in our military has approximately a year and a half worth of nursing school. And so there are ways that we can get people right now into the healthcare profession doing things that were within their training, within their scope. We're not talking surgery or prescribing drugs or that sort of thing, but something where you have skilled individuals that we can get into our state at a point that we've, you know, previously lost individuals that enter the military service, in part because before Wisconsin was in the minority of states that taxed active duty military pay. That's one of the things I'm very proud of from the most recent budget discussion, which governor did sign, to eliminate the active duty tax on pay. And that's something that now is going to allow us to not lag like we did so many of our active duty servicemen and women as soon as they were deployed or went off to another state for training in one of those other states.
They weren't coming back to Wisconsin. I want to just go back to the military medics here. So this bill would allow veterans with medical training to work in healthcare without a license. So if military medics are able to treat people without a license, and you're saying not do surgery or prescribe medicine, but are able to treat people in the healthcare setting, who then would ensure their skills and abilities without, you know, the examining board there with the licensure?
Well, and we've worked with the examining boards as well as stakeholders, you know, the hospital association, the health cooperatives, primary healthcare association. But basically, they would be working with a licensed professional. There would be a memorandum of understanding. They would have to be fairly recent from their separation from active duty service. And there would also be a requirement that they are, you know, continuing towards a credential.
Do you know how many medics this would apply to?
Well, I think the most conservative estimate from the state was somewhere in the range of about 60 within that first year. A fairly recent program in Virginia that this is modeled after. It's only been in effect for a couple years. They've already had, I believe, over 400 that have taken advantage of it across different tracks. Now, of course, Virginia, there might be a little bit higher in terms of the, you know, per capita veteran population. Again, that's something that we're trying to build towards here in Wisconsin.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Republican State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere on a range of legislation. You can join in with your concerns at 800-642-1234. Along the lines of health care that you have spearheaded, you sponsored a bill that passed the Assembly that would prevent insurers from denying health care coverage to people based on pre-existing conditions. The Affordable Care Act, the ACA, already bars insurers from doing this. Why do you feel this law is needed?
Well, I think it's a fairly baseline expectation. It's certainly something that I'm very supportive of. I was very pleased that this time it passed with unanimous support out of the state assembly. Of course, last session, that was something that split the Democratic caucus pretty much right down the middle. So I'm glad that we've moved beyond the phase where it was contentious at all. This is something that I think, you know, again, just make sure that we're not going to be discriminating on the basis of a pre-existing condition beyond somebody's control.
You've pushed for this bill before, but part of the reservation on it, I think, was it doesn't go as far as the ACA in providing protections because it didn't regulate self-funded plans from private companies and that it shouldn't include lifetime caps on benefits. What is different about this bill this time around?
I think you might be off on some of those details, Kate. This is very strong legislation, very similar to standalone legislation proposed by Democrats. Now, certainly there were additional things that they tried to throw in there together, like abortion subsidies, things of that nature. This doesn't go to that extent, but we did put the limitations on the caps and the coverage ability, basically being the same as the Affordable Care Act. And really, we went to the, I believe it was the Pew Institute, that basically said that this was as strong as anything proposed in any legislature in the country. So I think you might be a little...
Okay, well, yeah, thank you for the clarification on that. And if people aren't required to have insurance, wouldn't this allow people to simply wait until they're sick to buy insurance?
Well, that is one of the things within Obamacare, in terms of the, this is not solving necessarily every issue within healthcare. Not that any one piece of legislation can. This is simply addressing that element as something that is going to be the cornerstone of any future within healthcare, because it is one area where I think there has been very broad public and bipartisan agreement.
We're talking with André Jacques, Republican state senator from DePere, chairs the Senate Committee on Human Services, Children and Families. Is your water safe to drink? Are you concerned about your well? What clean water protections do you want lawmakers to act on? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Republican State Senator André Jacques of DePere, who has been first or second author or lead co-sponsor. I counted more than 200 bills and resolutions this year. What legislation do you want lawmakers to take up and move on? What should the state do to protect clean drinking water? What should Wisconsin do to protect people who are vulnerable to abuse and neglect? Still time, 800-642-1234. State Senator André Jacques with us for about 9 more minutes. Let's move to water. There are 3 big water problems, as you know, in Wisconsin: PFAS, lead, and nitrates. And along those lines, Jeff called, couldn't stay with us, from Delafield. Jeff asks, how are we protecting our groundwater? And lawmakers, Jeff is asking specifically about regulation related to high-capacity wells and agricultural runoff. What would you tell Jeff?
Well, I think certainly there's a lot that we're doing in terms of trying to address agricultural runoff, trying to address, and I know actually the Wisconsin Farm Bureau just adopted a resolution about looking at the cumulative impacts within well placement. But I happen to chair the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Legislative Caucus Task Force on nutrient management, and we've been working on quite a few issues related to that. Actually pleased with some of the clean water bills that I've already gotten passed so far this session. That includes the Wisconsin Fund, or the private on-site wastewater treatment system, to assist those of lower income with failing septic systems and repairing those. We've got
I was going to say, the Wisconsin Fund, as you mentioned, exists to help residents with limited resources who handle the cost of those failing septic systems. And, you know, this is a grant program runs through Department of Safety and Professional Services. It inception was 1978. Governor signed Act 67, reauthorizing the program this year. What do you see it doing?
Well, what we're trying to do is basically eliminate some of the background, the backlog with the program, and address more of those the failing septic systems that are in need of repair. But we were able to extend the life of the program. It otherwise was going to sunset. And it is something that we've been able to work collaboratively with the administration on. It's been very bipartisan legislation, as have a number of the other environmental bills that I have either proposed, or a few of them that have already been signed into law. One of them with the EnviroCheck program is a kind of an outgrowth of my work on the DNR Small Business Environmental Council and trying to increase usage for proactive investigation of environmental issues within the small business community. There's the sand dredging legislation.
I just want to pause right there, as you mentioned, the small business community, because in the area of PFAS, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is opposed to several rules regulating PFAS in water. How will you get the business interests, the small businesses, large and small, on board with future regulation and cleanup of contamination of PFAS?
Well, I don't have legislation that I was looking to talk to about that, but I mean, certainly PFAS is certainly a concern, and certainly there are dedicated funding streams that could be made available when you look at the federal dollars that have been passed on through, I mean, what was supposed to be the COVID relief, but certainly that's been a source of lead pipe replacement funding. So I think that that's, you know, certainly something that we'll be taking a look at. That's kind of outside of the nutrient management focus that I've had, but
State Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates our state is getting $850 million in federal funding to help improve water. So what are your priorities with water on this front?
Well, you know, one of the things that we actually adopted in the budget was the freshwater initiative. And one of the things that I've been working on through GLLC and with some of my colleagues in other states is something called blue accounting, and making sure that when we spend large amounts of money, we are focusing on where we're getting that greatest return on investment. So we're also looking at quantifying better. And we've done things before, like the TMDLs, the total maximum daily load studies on all the various watersheds in the area. But in addition to that, you know, just looking at actual dashboards with rating the quality of the water in, you know, our lakes and streams. But there's, you know, the funding level for that, the budget was about $2.5 million. Obviously, there's a lot of additional funding that is available. I mean, how you consider water infrastructure is a bit of a fungible thing, I guess, at this point. But, you know, as far as, you know, how that money's going to be spent, that's actually going to be one of the workshops we have with the GLLC coming up here in January. So we're going to find out exactly what we can spend it on.
You see bipartisan action on water issues. You see places where you can reach across the aisle and find Democrats who are in lockstep with you, who are on the same page. Where in these instances are these aha moments happening when it comes to water, clean water, and water infrastructure?
Well, I've been able to find very broad bipartisan support for so many of my ideas. I mean, I think I probably have had more Democratic co-sponsors on my legislation than any of my colleagues by a good amount. And certainly part of that is because I've proposed a lot of legislation, but that extends within the environmental area to, we have the innocent purchaser legislation that was just brought forward, where there's actually more Democratic than Republican co-sponsors. But also, again, with the Blue Accounting and Freshwater Initiative, certainly with the environmental bills that have been signed into law, with the Wisconsin Fund and EnviroCheck. Now, one thing that was interesting, the sand dredging bill was modeled after something that did pass on a unanimous bipartisan basis in Indiana, and it was something that both sides were claiming credit for in press releases. Interestingly enough, that actually passed the Wisconsin legislature without Democratic support, at least at the committee level. But Governor Evers did sign that into law. I was very pleased. And of course, that's something that we had officials up and down the Lake Michigan shore that were extremely pleased that we were able to do that. Because again, that's very basic common sense reform. And then the manure composting legislation is something that, again, has been very bipartisan. That's a best practice that we can basically have Wisconsin remove one more barrier to being able to create a profit center on the farm for doing the right thing.
Talking with Andre Jacques, Republican state senator from De Pere, as we discuss legislation he's had a hand in this year. Let's look at vulnerable populations. You have a number of proposals aimed at protecting vulnerable people. One of the things that we're watching for here is the number of long-term care facilities that have been closing or can't accept new residents. And it comes down to money, not being able to offset costs and keep the workforce. What steps can the legislature take to stop this?
Well, certainly there are concerns, I think, within the managed care organizations and what the level of support is for various facilities. I know one of the things that I've worked on, and again, on a bipartisan basis, is really trying to help our independent living centers. We have them across the entire state, all 72 counties. There's 8 different organizations, and they really, I think, are not only a return on investment in terms of the cost for being able to keep individuals in their homes or outside of institutions, but it also is something where the social benefits and the greater outcomes that result from that. I've been a big supporter of what we've been able to do with our independent living centers. There certainly are a lot of things when you talk about vulnerable populations. I was very pleased with the guardianship legislation that was just signed into law. Again, that was on a unanimous bipartisan basis in both chambers. Some of the things we've been able to do with post-traumatic stress and our first responders, as well as others that are in vulnerable occupations. There's been some follow-up legislation that I proposed there as well. And, certainly talking about vulnerable individuals within foster care, basically children in need of protective services.
And
Ethan's Law was another very significant.
And we're going to have to end it there on Ethan's Law. Republican Andre Jacques, state senator from De Pere, on the State Capitol Report. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.